schools are supposed to be these bastions of diversity where we can appreciate students who are different and people who represent all sorts of different groups, and that's not the way they are right now.
Well, and we have seen what pressure does to kids these days. Some of them crack, and when they do crack, they do some very deplorable things. They've gone over the edge, but they'll do stuff. You know, they'll either commit suicide, they'll kill other kids. A lot of kids just can't take it, Alexandra.
It's interesting that you mentioned that. I want to talk about that for a second. When I proposed this book, which originally it was not called The Geek Shall Inherit the Earth, because originally, because the book is not just about geeks. It's about loners and floaters and outsiders. And I'll explain more about the book and what I did in a little bit, but I even followed a popular girl. The first thing that one of the editors said to me was, this is great. You'll have to do a chapter on when good outcasts go bad, what happens when students sort of turn dangerous. And so one of the jobs I did with the book is I wanted to show, you know what, that is a misperception. Just because you are an outsider does not mean that something's wrong with you, and most certainly doesn't mean that you're going to go out and shoot up a school. In fact, I did a little digging, and if you look back at the kids at the gunmen during the Columbine school shootings, very interesting. So one of them, Eric Harris, moved from New York. He wasn't a Colorado native. When he was in New York, he played Little League. He was a good student, and this is something that the media has not jumped on top of.
No.
He was popular. He was a popular student. So here, because of Columbine, schools were going around trying to pick out the students who were a little different, trying to pick out the outcasts and expel them. They even got popular kids to help them choose which students would be, as one girl called it for me, the who's most likely to bring a gun to school game.
Oh,
they wanted to weed out the outcasts. But meanwhile, Eric Harris, one of the two murderers, was popular before he went to Columbine. So you can't make judgments like that. This is what I call, I made up a term called outcast profiling, where, you know, you can't just choose, pick a kid because he's an outsider and penalize him in some way. You know, that's the same thing as racial profiling.
What about the kid who would post on some of these social networks, and we'll get into a lot of these in a moment. Are they red flags? You know, those who would post things like, you know, I hate people, I'm going to kill people. That sounds to me like an expression deep inside of them.
Oh, you know, I don't know about that, but it doesn't really tie in to outsiders in particular. If you're dealing with a kid who is posting hate on those sites, that's definitely not a good sign. But I would not say that that's something specific to outsiders at all. In fact, I did a lot of psychological research. I looked into some pretty cool experiments to see why this behavior is going on. And it turns out that the kids who are most likely to be aggressive, whether physical or relational, and what relational aggression is rumors, gossip, eye-rolling, things that hurt or harm but aren't physical, it's the popular kids. The popular kids are more aggressive than the outsiders. And here, schools are going after the outsiders. Parents are worried about their kids if they're outsiders. And it turns out it's the popular kids you have to worry about.
All right, let's talk about what you mean by geeks shall inherit the earth. Tell me about this.
All right, well, the book is about the secrets of people who are popular and the triumph of people who are not. What I wanted to do is I wanted to write a book that would appeal to both adults and students. And, you know, it's my usual style, like Pledge, like The Overachievers. It's nonfiction that reads like fiction. And that's why there's a huge plot twist in the book, which is pretty fun. I hope people like it. What I did was I followed the true stories of seven high schoolers throughout a school year. I followed a popular cheerleader, and I also followed six outsiders, a gamer, a loner, a nerd, a band geek, a weird girl, and a new foreign girl.
Okay.
I followed them throughout the course of the school year. These were real people, and then in the middle of the year, I surprised each of them with a challenge, sort of an experiment, to make over the way people perceived them without directly changing anything about themselves.
So you witnessed how other people would look at them, how they would treat other people?
Yes. I mean, yeah, that's what we talked about incessantly.
How did you find them?
I found them in different ways. Most of them had written me after my last book came out about the U.S. school system. But let's see, another one was teacher recommended. Another one, a mother said to me, I think my daughter should be involved with this project. And, you know, usually don't go doing that now and emailing me everybody and saying your kid should be involved with one of my projects, because that was sort of a lucky shot in the dark. I talked to hundreds and hundreds of students, and then these were the seven people I ended up choosing.
Tell me about some of the methods of the research. How did you break it down in terms of questions, what you were looking for?
Well, I was looking for main characters who would represent very different aspects of high school life. I wanted different stories. I wanted interesting stories. And I wanted every reader to be able to relate to at least one character, to put themselves back in high school, or if they're a student, to be able to ally with somebody in high school, so you can really understand what kids are going through today.